KPI.org.
Hey, this is Farrah with the Data Rebels. Today's episode is with Miss Carrie, and we are talking about virtual dating. And Carrie is a dating coach, matchmaker, dating expert. She's from Chicago, and she has clients from all over the U.S. And so today we're going to be giving tips and just talking about experiences, and I'm having kind of like my own little experiment over here. just navigating through these times is pretty interesting. We all need to connect, and everybody's doing it right now, I feel like. So hopefully this episode helps you with your journey through this time and this time virtually dating and connecting with people. And I hope that you're all staying safe and making great connections and sending love. And thank you for tuning into the episode. I appreciate it. Take care.
Introducing the show a little bit before you got on, and
Hang on a second. I have you were introducing it. Okay, I've got some crazy background here.
I know you really do. Where's that from?
How did that happen? Virtual background. Let's get that.
It looks like you're in San Francisco.
Oh gosh, yeah, I'm in San Francisco. Hang on, let's see if I can. None would be good. I like that better.
This is mine. And my cats coming and going.
Oh, this, I'm, you know what? All these videos that I've made about setting up ahead of time, so you know what your background looks like. And here I am, literally, have not taken a single shot of this today.
Well, hopefully the sound is okay. I was just telling everybody how you are a dating coach.
I am.
Matchmaker from Chicago, and you have many clients that are all over the country.
All over the country, yes.
And we're just how they have to embrace virtual dating right now, because it's what's happening.
It is the new thing that all the cool kids are doing it, right? Yeah. I mean, we are humans and we are wired for connection. And within a time when there are so few options available to us, I kind of think you have to jump in to, feet first. Because otherwise we're lonely. That's how we're wired.
I know. We're all just like trying to connect. I know there's like all these Facebook people doing Facebook videos and all this stuff. But it's getting interesting. So I just want to ask a few questions.
Surely.
How are people reacting to the virtual dating? The idea.
I feel that if it's presented in the right way, that people are excited about it, right? I think it might have taken a little nudging people along, or it might have taken people to hear friends' stories because it was something unusual and it was different. It wasn't what they were used to. So I feel that a lot of people kind of went into it kicking and screaming, but I think that now that it's, we're in full swing and you can hear other people's stories, that for sure people are like, I'm willing to try it. And I've had really great successes. The people who have, there's a lot of people, my clients who said, I think I'm going to wait until we can get back out there. But then a month or so has gone by and they're like, how's that going for other people? And I have so many great success stories. It's just different. And there's a lot of stuff that goes into making that a successful, thing. It's not just pick up Zoom and open up a window and go, hi, right? Sitting on your bed.
Right. No, you have to have, do they talk about the chemistry aspect of it?
I think chemistry is kind of like the last thing, honestly, because I think chemistry, there's so much that goes into it. And then at the end of this date, you look at it and say, do I think I had chemistry with that person? Because we're used to walking into a place and going, here's a person walking in. Do I think this person, do I have chemistry? I mean, there are so many people. I ask everyone I screen whether they think they, when do they know if they have chemistry with someone? And right. There's often, they're all, so often telling me within 3 minutes, and I say to them, we're both moving things around here.
I know. I'm learning how to do this.
Mine's pretty bad. Mine's bad too. I'm looking for a remote to turn things down, but I think that that's not chemistry. That's a first impression, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that I'm constantly fighting against that. And then we have to define chemistry, because a lot of people think that a first impression is chemistry. Is it just the physical attraction, or is it all those things that go into that conversation that make you feel that you've connected with somebody?
Right.
So chemistry, kind of that question, I feel it's great with virtual dating, because you can put that off until the end of the date and say, do I feel like there was a connection with that person? And how much of them did you see? Was it this much, or did you take the opportunity to get up out of your seats and move around and show your house off, maybe grab something you wanted to share during this date? So I think right. that it can be put off a little bit longer for a lot of people now, right? It's not the first thing you ask yourself. And it's uncomfortable. Most people are concerned about themselves. Like, I really feel like I should like look at my, you know, but I'm like, oh, just everybody's like, oh, what are we doing here? This is so different. So in the same way that regular first dates can make people nervous, this is not going to be any different. You still have to get your headspace in the right place before you start, right? Do a little prep work. I've made yeah. so many videos about things you should do before you get to the point of hopping on that date, right? So yeah. just to get the angle right, so we're not looking up your nostrils and positioning your iPad or your phone or whatever you're using. Grabbing some lights or finding a great window, those kinds of things. I think I'm encouraging all my clients to don't just do what I did today and run in front of the camera and like pop it up and go, hi.
Here's San Francisco. Yeah.
So I encourage people, if they know they're having a date at a certain time of day, the day before, set up the day before, look and see what it's going to look like. Is this going to work, or is this time of day horrible because the light's going to blind everybody? And you'd be amazed how many dates I've sent out, and the person I didn't prep for this date, my clients have put in all this work to get things just so, and the guy shows up and he's got a bright light behind him. So literally she sees a black shadow of a face, right?
Yeah, not the way to do it.
At that point, I realized I had to start giving some like little tips to everybody involved so that their dates would be a little bit better. But you've explored this this dating, you know, through the internet. I think your story is really interesting too, Farah, because you, instead of just delving in and keeping it close to home, you opened up the whole wide world to yourself.
I went to Spain, darling.
You went to Spain. You just took off and said, yeah, show me somebody I can't find at Trader Joe's, right?
Yeah, I'm just really not typically attracted to the men here in Minnesota, but and I love Barcelona, and Tinder went international for like a while. I think it's done with that now, but like they did the passport thing and for free. And so I was like, well, whatever, I'm going to try it. And then I ended up really connecting with somebody, and we're having a connection. It's really nice. So, I mean, yeah, it's interesting. And I can feel the chemistry, you know what I mean? So I think like it's possible to feel it like via across the world over video chat.
And I think, and so I think what people, you know, and you've worked this out, you, Spain holds an attraction for you. The language holds an attraction. I think there are questions people have to ask themselves before they follow in your footsteps. Because I'd say, like, as a dating coach, I tell clients that, you know, when they say, oh, we can, you know, and as a more, even more so maybe as a matchmaker, do you want to search in other states? And I think we've got to talk about some things. Are you willing to relocate? What is your life like now? There are a couple of certain times of your life that that's easier to pick up and move. And when people are at the height of their earning power or in a career settled in somewhere, that's usually for most people, unless they have a job that allows them to work from anywhere, the most middle years are not the prime years. It's when people are looking to retire or when they're first starting out and they haven't really settled into that job that's going to you know, really empower them and give them the earning potential. So those people are super easy for them to pick up and go to some another climate or another country even. But yeah, a lot of other people are stuck in the middle. So what are you looking for? Is this going, and not everybody, I think we have to consider that not everybody wants a traditional, we live together and or we're living together and we're married relationship. For some people, somebody to talk to and like this every, you know, three times a week or every day, twice a day, and see them a few times a year would be a relationship they'd be totally down for.
Right. Yeah. I mean, relationships are done in so many different ways. I chose to do this, to open this up at this time, because I felt like I really wanted to stop my cat scratching on the chair.
Why isn't it me having crazy animal problems? That's usually my house.
she's something else. But I opened it up because I wanted to actually get to know somebody and have a conversation and like connect mentally and, you know, like on different levels and not have
emotionally,
a physical.
Emotionally even, right?
Yeah, emotionally as well. And because the physical thing just like seems to sometimes really obstruct, you know, things.
It can mess things up. It can take you in a different direction and much more quickly, right?
Yeah. And so, I mean, I think that's one of the benefits of virtual dating right now is just like really connecting in different ways and like kind of teaching ourselves how to do this in general then.
Yeah. Well, from a whole different starting point for sure. I do think that a lot of times, in regards to what you just said, slowing down that physical aspect lets you get to know them in a multitude of ways. Like I always talk about when we say the chemistry thing you brought up early on, is it emotional chemistry, physical chemistry, conversational chemistry, intellectual chemistry, or are you just call those all attractions? But you can touch upon all those before and in a much deeper way before you get to the physical. And I think it prevents you also from hanging on to something that's not great for a lot longer than you need to, right? Do you know so many people, and we've all done it, where the physical part distorts everything and we end up in this relationship sometimes years after it should have ended, but based on just that physical aspect.
I know.
That's
I know.
Not going to happen. Can't happen here.
No, and it definitely can't happen for me in my situation.
And we don't know how long this is going to last, right? So it's kind of an experiment of like, maybe I can see you next week. Maybe we're not going to see each other for 4 months. I don't know. But I mean, it's probably, I mean, do you feel like it's something you look forward to in your day, connecting with the person that you have, you know, been talking to virtually? Is it one of the highlights of your day? And does it make you less lonely?
It definitely, it gives me like this something, you know, just, I feel happy, you know, like I'm connecting with somebody that I care for, you know? And so it's not just like someone to talk to, it's someone that I actually like, you know, I connect with and I like. So
yeah. I mean, I think that's super cool. And I think that was an interesting thing that they took it upon themselves to do that, to open it up so that you could search outside your own diet, you know, that parameter that they set for you.
I love it. I think it's a great idea. I'm glad they did that.
Yeah. I think so too. You know, I think about that TV show, Love is Blind, that was that big, huge hit on Netflix a few months ago, where the couples met, they couldn't see each other. They were each in a pod.
And they were just talking. Yeah.
Glass wall in between them. And not that it ended up great for everybody, but it did end up great for a couple of couples that are still together. And I think if they could connect in a way where they weren't even seeing one another like this, not even on video or the phone, and they were able to make those connections and fall in love just from the person's voice. And they did have that setup though, where those conversations could be more meaningful than they would be sitting in a restaurant with, you know, people sitting on either side of you and waitstaff interrupting. These conversations can get much more intimate, much more quickly, like they did in those pods. And if they can do it like that, we can certainly do it on video and then subsequent calls.
I think so for sure.
I think... Go ahead. You were going to say something?
I was just going to ask, like, I mean, do you hear like mistakes? Like, are there like some common mistakes that people make
You know, one of the things that comes to mind is that I think people sometimes don't put in that same effort that I said. You know, I encourage my clients, I don't know what you're wearing on your bottom half. I'm like, it's fine if you're, you know, dress like you would. Put in the same effort that you right. would if you were going to drive across town, right? Put on the makeup and even perfume, if that's going to make you feel a certain way about yourself, if that makes you feel sexy and like you're on a date, then by all means, do it for your video date. And so I encourage people to do that. But I've heard stories of other people who are like, it's just low investment, right? If I don't like this person, I could just go still, you know, end call. So I think making it special in a lot of ways, and there's a lot of creative ways too, that if you make it special and give it the gravity that it demands as a first date, for instance, you know, especially that first one, you can get super comfortable with somebody rather quickly if you do connect. And mm-hmm. then you could take it into every room of your house, hanging out while you're cooking or, you know, before you tuck yourself into bed. But I think that first date, don't make the mistake of, you know, not giving it the importance that it probably demands if it is true, if you really truly want this to be special and to connect with somebody.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, for sure.
Are you thinking back? What did you do on your first date? Your first virtual?
I got ready and I wore what I would wear on a in-person date. And, you know, like I set my phone up and I looked at the lighting and made sure, you know, like, I now have a pop socket on the back of my phone. So now yeah. I don't have to hold it. But like before when I didn't, I was just like holding my phone and that's not comfortable, you know? So like I suggest getting a pop socket or a tripod or something.
Yeah, I got ready. I've got a little stand. My dad had asked for a stand. So I'm like, they were very inexpensive. I have the pop socket too, but this one, yeah, right here. There's your little pop socket. But even there's like a little stand that I've used if I've been doing like cooking, if you're cooking, you can do that with a date too. This date has to be 7 o'clock for a cocktail. What if it's at 10:30 a.m. and it's for making breakfast together? You're both going to sit down with your eggs and bacon and a cup of coffee and chat over morning sunlight at a pretty window. That's, you know, thinking outside the box can make this a little bit more interesting than your typical, I'm showing up at a place for appetizers and a cocktail, so that's what I'm going to do at home. There have been some right. super creative things. You want to hear some of the creative things?
Yeah. Yes, please.
Some other matchmaker friends too, they've had people who have literally ordered in dinner from the same restaurant if they are in the same area and had the same food show up so that they were eating from the same, you know, the same place. I've had people who ordered each other dinner, have it delivered. Aww. I guess you have to make sure nobody has any horrible food allergies that you could get them into trouble. But they've right. done that. People have gotten up and danced. People have been able to share some of, you know, pull out their guitar and play a song together or do dance parties. I think the more sense of adventure you bring to it, you get out of it what you need to do. So you could just sit and chat for 45 minutes in a comfy chair, right? That's totally acceptable, but you can also bring your own personality into it in a different way that you probably can't sitting in a restaurant or a coffee shop.
Right.
Right.
True. Yeah. I mean, I prefer like usually on dates anyways, like, you know, going out to eat is whatever, but I really like to take a walk and talk to the, you know,
I love
and,
that.
Like, yeah. And just like really connect in that way. Cause like when you're around other people and like movies are totally out. Don't go to a movie.
Not whatever. At first. No.
You know? So, but yeah, like it's interesting that you could like, you could do so many things with this virtual dating.
Yeah. I thought it was really interesting. And yeah, I mean, why couldn't you just take your phone on a walk and just
put
your sticker phone? You totally could, because one of my favorite dates is meet at a coffee shop, get a cup of coffee to go, and then take a walk. Yeah. You know, for people who have nerves, there are so many people who dating first dates in particular, do you get nervous?
Yeah. Oh my God.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, you're not alone in that. I was shocked when I read that I think it was Plenty of Fish or one of the dating apps did a questionnaire and they asked whether people were more nervous for a date or for a job interview. And they said a date. And I was like, that's your opportunity to totally be you. I was really surprised by that, but I love the idea when those nerves kick in, people sometimes have a hard time thinking about what to talk about, and they get themselves into areas that maybe they wouldn't have delved into if they'd had their wits about them. So I think it's cool to have a walk and have all the input that that brings. You're constantly, especially an urban walk. I mean, it's nice out in the, you know, around a beautiful lake or something as well. But I love the coffee shop urban kind of walk. And one of the fun things that I've done did on a date once that I just was one of my funnest dates, most fun dates, was we just took our used our cameras to take photos. We had like a little photo competition.
Oh, fun. Like,
let's both take a picture, you know, get the best who can get the best picture of this thing up ahead, right? And we catch angles and laughing and getting into weird, anything where you can have fun, right? And I think you could probably still do this, take a walk in your neighborhood alone, but with your iPad or better with your computer.
I'm just kidding.
Right. Your pop socket with your pop socket. Yeah, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I wonder, like, I had a thought about if this is going to change how people are physically with each other, you know, because like people are kind of scared of touching and, you know, getting close now. And I wonder for however long this lasts, is that going to have an effect?
I think it really only leads to more questions, right? I think that we don't know until we get there. I mean, I think there's a lot of, yes, is it going to change? Will we have PTSD, you know, of like getting close to somebody? Are you safe? Maybe it's just another test we take before jump, you know, like STDs have been in the past. I mean, we've lived through other things that were dangerous to have and be close to another person over the years in my lifetime. So it could just be that, or you know, like people say, are we going to go back to the way things were? Maybe things weren't all that perfect that we want to go back to a lot of things. And maybe this is one of them. Maybe it's an opportunity to re-examine how quickly we do that. You know, I was talking to a friend the other day and we were talking about when she and I were young kids, because I'm in my mid-50s, you know, it was like we grew up on the tail end of all free love, right? All the hip, we saw those people who are older than us, those hippie people. And it was all about free love and as much physical connection as everybody wanted. And then all of a sudden it was like, hello, AIDS, you know, hello, HIV, AIDS, which was that pendulum swinging in the opposite direction, because maybe it was a little too free for the good of society. So it kind of, and then we figured out that people can live, you know, a way that people can live with that. And it's back to the middle. Well, now we've got, oh, if you're near people, you could pick up a virus and, you know, so maybe this is just the pendulum swinging because it needs to get itself back to center somehow. I mean, that's a possibility. I don't have the answer, honestly. Maybe this will be a build up to a physical thing with somebody that will, you know, that it'll benefit the relationship in the long run because we've postponed it. Maybe it just takes some of that pressure off to have that right away. You know, I have a lot of people who think that they will know if they have chemistry at the end of a first date. And I pressure them to think about the situations. Like I ask, have you never had somebody that you were friends with or somebody you worked with that you didn't feel you had a physical connection until after you'd known them for months or maybe years? Because I know a lot of people who were friends first and ended up married. And it wasn't, you know, somebody doesn't walk into a new job and every, you know, like the guy's like, whoa, man, it's like he starts to enjoy looking forward, you know, her company at work and looks forward to going to work, puts in a little extra, you know, whatever they do, right? Good. And they look forward to somebody's sense of humor. So in the way that those relationships develop, maybe that's the way that these develop too. So it can go a little more slowly. Build, you're shaking all over. And build more of a, I don't know why I'm so yellow here, but okay. Just a different camera, I guess. I don't usually use my iPad. But I think that you can maybe build a foundation here first. And that might change things quite a bit.
I think that makes a huge difference, honestly. And I think that's what I'm learning from this. Whoa. My phone just went like, oh, okay. I had to close the window because it was just like all this traffic noise.
I didn't hear it, but yeah. I was editing a video for my YouTube channel the other day, and I'm like, what is that noise? And I remembered what it was. There's like a bang, bouncy noise throughout the entire episode. And I realized my cat had found a bead and he just kept throwing it around the room. The whole video was a bead bouncing across the floor in the room. And I I didn't even notice it.
That's probably what's going to happen with this. Like, my cat has been scratching and she like jumped on the door and freaked out and was jumping all over the place. And
also, something to take into account if you're doing virtual dating, is that a situation where you want to introduce your pets on the first date and have that as a distraction? Or is that the time you want to lock them out of the, you know, out of the room for that first date? So same thing for people with kids. People with kids as well. If you're doing something during the day, do you want to include kids in the background and all that entails? Or you want to make sure that they're, you know, tucked away for the night, or, you know, where I don't know where you can send them right now if they're yours. And if you have kids, you can't send them anywhere, but after bedtime, maybe. So just one of those other prep things to keep in mind with our animals, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking, you know, we talked about building that foundation. I think that even, and I'm curious if you had this experience, because I think it's possible, but I don't know if people are doing it. But when you don't have to sit and ask somebody, you're out of your mold where you would sit there and basically, so many people ask for a resume. People, the worst feedback on dates that people don't want to see each other again, the feedback is for me that it felt too much like an interview and that somebody was doing check, check, check.
Nobody wants that.
Yeah, nobody loves that. I know there's stuff you want to get, but, you know, and I recommend to clients that, you know, who date on their own without me as their matchmaker, that they have some of those conversations and get those major questions, like, you know, maybe like, where do you want to live, or, you know, or do you want, you know, for some people it's, do you want kids? Why bother, you know, putting on lipstick, a dress, and driving across town for somebody who wants something that totally different? So I think some of those value questions can be had before even meeting somebody, and easy to bring up on these situations. This is your first call and your first date all kind of wrapped up into one. But did you feel that you were able to, without the distraction and that setup of, oh, here we are across the table with waitstaff walking around, or just, you know, other people, could you get into some of those more deeper conversations to learn so much more about the way this person thinks, and a conversation more about ideas and perspective rather than their resume? Did that happen?
For me?
Yeah.
With this first, it was really easy. There was no, like, we just kind of like both felt it out, you know? There weren't any, it didn't feel like an interview at all, no.
Yeah. And then I mean, because you can get down to not just your interests, but like your values. I mean, is that my phone blowing up? Oh, yeah. I feel that I love when people on a first date can get past all those basic questions. I mean, that's why some people don't love dating. It's like you get tired of hearing yourself talk about your history and those same, my brother's this and my parents are here and I went here to school. Here was my last vacation. So to get into a conversation where it can be, and it can be inspired by anything. Oh, there's a book on my shelf that was reminding me that my favorite book was this, and I loved it because of this, and it changed my life. Or let me play a song and tell about the first time you heard that song. And I just think it's a slower pace maybe that would allow you to really get into, you know, just different types of conversations where I think you're really gonna, where you can't speed up the physical part, you can really speed up the intimacy part.
Right. Yeah. Me and the guy that I'm talking to, we played a game and it was pick three of your favorite books and talk about why they changed your life.
Okay.
Yeah. Or like movies or music, anything, you know, but you can get into somebody's mind, you know, and like where they're at and their values. And
I totally agree. I just think it's a great opportunity these days. So I encourage anybody who's like thinking, should I do this? You know, this is uncomfortable. It's different. Don't let different scare you, right? That's not a good reason to say no, especially when what are the other options? Just being alone. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with being alone. I know a lot of people have a hard time with it. I'm an introvert, so I'm totally fine home alone. But I know there are others who are really struggling. Yeah, I know you're not a huge extrovert. You're kind of a mix, aren't you?
I'm a mix.
Yeah, you're a mix.
Yeah.
But imagine people who are literally rejuvenated they get energy from being with other people. where's their energy coming from during a shelter at home situation?
And if they don't live with anybody else, and if they're just like, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, I know. Yeah. One of my friends is, he made his own show. So now he's got this show on Facebook and all these people are, you know, he's interacting with them. So, and he's married, he lives with his wife, but
yeah. And it's, you know, and I just, you know, I'm going to have to edit an episode tonight that's going on my YouTube channel tomorrow. And I was really careful because it's all about like projects to take on while you're at home. Like there's like clean, you know, I've done a lot of spring cleaning type things and organizing and doing things like that. And I was very careful because I realized that there are people who don't have it in them to do anything like that right now. Emotionally, they're just not in a place where they want to be accomplishing much of anything. They're just, they're tied up taking care of themselves.
Right.
And I know they're out there. So whatever it takes to take care of yourself, that's, you know, your mental health. That's first and foremost. But for some people, their mental health hinges on connecting with other people. And I think that's a, that's why you, this is an option for sure. And what about friends? I mean, can't we, I mean, we're talking about dating, right?
Being, right.
But even just to take it another step further, you know, why can't you just, you know, where is the app for making new friends? I mean, I met you recently and we connected.
I know.
And, yeah. So, I mean, it's just like a cool situation. I think people can use this formula for other things as well. Like really, you have to look, the next time you have to run out for toilet paper, really be looking around if there's any friends you want to exchange like your Zoom meeting number with.
Well, I know that Bumble actually has an option for like friends and business. Yes.
Right.
So that's pretty cool. I mean,
that's a great resource, right? Yeah, you can look for, women can look for other women for friends. And men, I think I don't know if men can do that. I think it's just for women, actually.
I don't know.
I had that impression that it was women, but I could be wrong. But yeah. And then don't some of the apps also have, I know where you could just immediately go into a virtual chat room to video.
Oh, I didn't know that. Match. Huh. Yeah,
my son mentioned that to me the other day. So they're getting on the bandwagon too. You don't even have to set up your own Skype, Zoom, FaceTime chats. You have an app doing it for you.
Nice.
Yeah. Right.
Hey. Yeah. So I'm sure everybody's doing it. So many people are doing it. And I mean, I just had a friend of mine, she went on Facebook and, you know, Facebook dating app, which I've never tried. But
haven't delved into that one yet. Do we trust Facebook enough to trust them with our love's life at this point? I don't know.
I don't, but she has had success actually. She met this guy and, you know, like, they've been doing the virtual stuff and like things have just been like going really smoothly and pretty fast and it's working out.
That's great. And, you know, I tell my clients too, like, you know, my matchmaking clients get like one date a month with me. And I always say to them, but you know, if now is the time that you are investing in your romantic life and you're willing to outsource your dating life to me, then it must be like the right time for you. So if that's the case, one date a month is not enough. So I encourage them to continue dating on, you know, they think, oh, I'm handing over everything to my matchmaker. And I'm like, no, I'm handing part of it back to you because I think this is a numbers game to some degree. And dating is also an active skill. So if the more people you meet, the more opportunity to connect with somebody. So right. I think it's great if you haven't checked out dating apps in the past, you know, and it's interesting also that different dating apps in different areas, like we're in two different major cities, and the one that works for me here in my age group may not work for me in your city, in my own age group, or in yours.
So right. I think
there's apps that if you're literally downtown and you're like 30, you have the, you know, that's where you're going to find a multitude of really fabulous connections there. But if you're 10 years older, it's a different app altogether. So
right.
You have to experiment and play with them and line them all up and see who's out there. And if it looks like there's some people there, you might be able to, like I said, it's kind of low stakes. All you got to do is put on a shirt and some, you know, curl your eyelashes and some lipstick, right?
Put on a little, there we go. Is that better lighting?
Oh, that's nice. There's nice.
There's no
Uber fees. There's no parking. There's no tab that comes at the end of the date. So in that respect, it's not a lot to, you know, if you have an hour to just get to know somebody. I've had lovely conversations in airports with people for an hour that I had nothing in common with, sometimes not even our native language, right? But our first language. And if I can walk away from those conversations feeling like that was a great connection, that was super enjoyable hour, then people who are meeting and dating and looking for the same things should be able to have a really nice conversation, even if it's learning about somebody who's very different than you, that you're not going to choose as your partner. It still could be fun.
And you can learn something about them and about yourself. I mean, really, you know, ultimately that's kind of what we're all doing, is learning about ourselves over and over again through these experiences, meeting other people, right? Yeah. And connect, and like what we want, what we don't want. And
yeah. And and sometimes it's learning what you don't want, right? Some of our relationships have been to learn. It was an experience to teach us what we don't want.
Right.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So, I mean, but it should still, the enjoyment of engaging another person and sharing a part of yourself and hearing somebody else's different points of view should enlighten you, not burden you with an hour. You know, what are you missing? Another episode of what's the hot show on Netflix this week?
I don't know. I don't know. Well, but yeah,
the Tiger Show is over, so we're done with that one. We're watching. My mom called. She was watching. She'd watched Money Heist. She started Money Heist. They do the show out of Spain. Actually, you should probably be watching that one to brush up on your Spanish. You'll be reading this stuff. Here are the words you could be speaking Spanish by the time you meet this fella in person.
That's so funny. Can we talk a little bit about your YouTube channel so we can tell people where to find you? And
it's such a big part of my life. I just keep referencing it all the time. It's like, you know, it's like you're having a boyfriend where you just, every he comes up, you talk to your family and he comes up in every conversation because that's who you talk to and spend your time with.
Right.
But I created this channel. It's called Coffee with Carrie. My name's Carrie, obviously. And here's my coffee right here. And it's a channel I created for women over 50 like me, but the interesting thing has been that I get to see my visitors, their ages and their all these different parameters, and I have a huge following of women between 25 and 35. And I think it's just super interesting because it just goes to show you, it's like this, we're all experiencing the same things, and dating advice is dating advice. And my channel isn't just dating advice. I think this week I gave a recipe for some fun, like, maybe I thought I was going to save it for Father's Day in case somebody wanted to do a Father's Day brunch. But I thought, what a great thing for people to play with around, you know, it's almost like an egg bar. You're just making it out. You'll have to watch the video. Like how to cook eggs in a bag where everybody can customize their eggs and drop them in boiling water.
Okay.
It's just a super cool thing I've done for Father's Day brunch. I'm like, what a fun thing for people to do with kids. So there's that, and I'll play with makeup, and we'll talk about fashion. A lot of people are like, what do I wear now that I'm not, you know, 25 anymore? What can I still wear? Ripped jeans? Can I still wear, you know, if I'm showing this, can I show that? And so we just kind of talk about fashion and beauty and makeup and food. We still got to eat no matter what age you are. And then because of the dating thing, I'm talking to my client about these things, clients every day about all these things. So if I'm sharing them in one-off conversations, but with, you know, now I find myself on client calls saying, let me just send you that video. I don't want to talk about it. I've said it so many times. I'll just send you the applicable episode from my YouTube channel. So it's just been super fun. And I'm hoping to grow it to where it's a conversation more than just me talking all the time. As you can see, I like to do, I don't mind talking, but I would really start enjoying that process a lot more when it can be a little bit more interactive. And I get a couple comments here and there of people with different points of view. And I love that. That is like, you know, my journey of self-improvement for me personally has been to try to become a better listener. And you can see why that would be necessary. And the other one was that sometimes I had to realize that it's not important that I always share my opinion, because I don't learn anything new by sharing my opinion again. But I learned by letting other people's opinions come through. So that's kind of one of the things we've been just kind of talking, you know, talking about that. And I would love for people to communicate my, you know, in the comment section of my channel eventually, so I can learn something too.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that helps for sure.
Yeah. So you have us. And obviously it's just fun to share ideas and kick things around and hear other people's points of view. And that's kind of what I'm doing for my gals, and guys make comments too, which really does shake it up, right? Because they come from a whole different place. But sometimes it's great. I have to go to guys and get their opinions. Like, what do men want when they're dating after divorce? What are they looking for? I talk to people all the time. So if I take that information and guys talk, you know, we'll message it. Get a good, you know, cross reference study going of what people are looking for so we can understand each other better.
Oh my God. Yeah, please. Yeah. That's why I'm so passionate about doing this dating podcast. Cause I really am fascinated about relationships and the psychology of relationships and, like, you know, how are we all doing this? And
you know. Absolutely. That is what I'm attracted to in people. My friends are all people like you and me who love delving into this and whole interpersonal relationships. Before I was a matchmaker, before dating coaching, any of that, we talked about all this stuff, you know, we talked about our dating lives, not just the surface level, but the psychology of it. And why do we do this? I mean, that's just so interesting. And that wasn't my major in college. My major was vocal pedagogy. I'm a singer for most of my life.
Oh, wow.
And I'm qualified to be a voice teacher, but that's not really where it went. For me, it was those conversations that really made me want to delve in deeper and talk about it. I could talk about this stuff all day long. How long is this going? Anyway, how long are we going to?
Me too. We should probably wrap it up, by the way, soon. Okay. I mean, it's fascinating.
It is. And like I said, I could talk about it all day, which is why those are the people I'm drawn to who like to talk about it. And that they're enablers is what they are. They enable my friends are all enablers. It's like even what you're attracted to in friends. Like I ask that question of clients and people that I screen to match with my clients. What do your friends have in common with one another?
I liked when you asked me that question because I really thought about it. I was like, okay. I mean, there's so much to it.
They're like, well, I don't know. You know, people, that's a good question. I'm like, thank you. I made it up myself. But, and I do think it's interesting. And people have never usually, I said, take your time because most people haven't thought about it. But what I think it informs me of is, what are you attracted to in people? That's the gist of it. It's like what you want in your friends. Don't you want that in your partner plus some other stuff? So I thought it could be an insightful question if people take a moment to ponder their answer.
Yeah, it's a really good question.
Yeah, and that whole interpersonal thing would definitely be one of the things on my list. I mean, everybody wants somebody with a sense of humor, but that even means different things to different people. Do you want somebody who makes you laugh every day? Do you want somebody who just appreciates your sense of humor? Do you want somebody who, you know, if it's the wrong sense of humor, that's often more annoying than if they had no sense of humor at all.
That's so annoying. Oh my God. Yeah, no.
Yeah. So that's a little too broad, you know, but yeah, I'd say my friends are all pretty witty, right? I love clever humor.
Yeah. Same.
That's what I'm attracted. That's what my friends have in common. So of course, knowing that that's what I like in them, should I really be dating somebody who's just, you know, into puns? You know, their jokes are all puns. I'd be rolling my eyes incessantly for the next how many years, right?
Yeah, no.
No. Well, I think this is super cool that you're doing that, sharing information with everybody else out there. I hope that we have been able to inspire people who are like on the fence.
I hope so too, because it's actually really fun just to get to know other people and connect and, you know, like, yeah, you risk a little bit, you know, whatever, but it's just like, it's good. It's growth. It's growing.
Risk reward. It's like everything else. It's like totally reward could be so great for a small, you know, feeling of being uncomfortable. And I think just getting straight to who you really are, you know, not everybody's going to like us. I think maybe it took me a long time to realize that. I figure I'm so personable and I'm sweet. I hear a cat.
There's your cat.
Yeah. I think that I was just like, oh, I'm so personable and nice and I want good things for people. I'm kind. I'm sure everybody likes me, but you know, romantically, not so much. And probably not friend wise either. You know, we can't be it for everybody.
Right.
And so, and after a first date, I always tell clients, after a first date, if somebody doesn't want to see you again, that really says so much more about them than it does about you. Because how much could they have gathered up to like make that decision in an hour, hour and a half of conversation? It's filtered through everything they've experienced up to this point.
That's a good point.
And so many people are making assumptions based on, oh, that's the color lipstick my sister wears. You must be have these qualities. My sister, my ex, my ex-girlfriend did that, and she was super annoying. So you're probably like, you know, it's subconsciously, obviously,
right.
But you know, if they're just judging, oh, everybody with that job is very much like this. It's often just their past experience holding them back from truly seeing you as a unique person with all your stuff. So I don't think getting all upset about rejection after a first date should be a deterrent to dating or being yourself on a first date, right?
Right, right. Yeah, no, it's fun. Make it fun. Make it light. Have fun with it. Fuck it.
And don't be afraid of going deeper, you know, because you would hear somebody, oh, here he comes, the cat. I just think it's a great opportunity to make it very different. Here we go. Here's Franklin.
Oh, baby.
There's Franklin. There he is.
He's handsome.
He's just, oh, then the dog comes too. Oh,
she's a handsome boy.
Yeah, he's a handsome boy. And she, I can't be holding him without her wanting to come up too.
Oh, baby. Oh, my God. Aww. Well, thank you for coming on the show.
Oh, my pleasure.
I appreciate it so much.
I'm so glad that you took that. I mean, it's working out so great for you. I hope you are inspiration for other people to connect while we are stuck at home.
Thank you.
More human beings we can bring into our life and meet, the better odds we're going to, like I said, connect with somebody. So you did it. If you can do it, anybody can do it.
Thank you. And thank you for doing what you do.
Yeah, my pleasure. I hope that people will stop by and say hello. I'm Coffee with Carey on YouTube. It's Carey. And come stop by and see if it's something that you might want to stop by on more, you know, on occasion and see what we're up to. Usually some good dating, you know, it's getting that inside scoop that I give clients who are paying for it, you know, but just sliding that to you on the side. I think some of it can be really helpful if you're out there and not knowing if you're doing it right. You know, if there is such a thing as doing it right. Right.
Exactly.
Well, thanks for having me. It was a lot of fun. We'll talk soon, I'm sure.
Okay. It was good seeing you.
You too. We'll talk soon. Have a good one.
You too.
Bye.